live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rishi Sunak has criticised Nigel Farage's claim that the West provoked Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Mr. Farage claimed we provoked this war in the interview while drawing a link between NATO and European Union expansion. The Prime Minister says the leader of a former UK's comments are dangerous.
What he said was completely wrong and only plays into Putin's hands. This is a man who deployed nerve agents on the streets of Britain, who's doing deals with countries like North Korea.
Writer J.K. Rowling has criticised Labour for abandoning women concerned about transgender rights. Labour responded, saying they are a party for women's equality, with a manifesto that puts women front and centre. Spanish search and rescue teams have gathered again in Tenerife for the sixth day of the hunt for British teenager Jay Slater. The 19-year-old disappeared after attending the NRG Music Festival on the island with two friends on his first holiday without his parents. And England have slipped to a seven-run defeat to South Africa in the T20 World Cup in St. Lucia. That's the latest news from Radio News Hub. I'm Lucy Gormanley. The girl them skill
are cheap. Coming up. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day.
Imagine, it's Saturday. 1 minute you're lying on the sofa, horizontal, in your pyjamas, trying to guess which celeb is dressed up as a singing chicken, eyeing up the last sweet and sour pork ball. And the next, corn crackers, you're a millionaire. Lotto, will you be next? Play on app, the National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
As of Monday, 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. Here's everything you need to know. DAB Plus provides better sound quality and gives the best possible listening experience. So please make sure you have a DAB Plus enabled radio to listen to Colourful. But there are other ways to listen to Colourful, including on Colourful Player at colourful.radio. Smart speakers, TV, radio player, tune in and others. In these cases, you don't need to do anything. Your listening experience will stay the same. So don't forget, as of Monday 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. If you have any questions about your DAB radio signal, please call us on 0203 475 4038. That's 0203 475 4038. And choose option 4 from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday.
I never thought of myself as the giving type. But I guess I am. I cooked my housemate an extra delicious pot of stew after a long night shift. And I give blood when I can. Investing 1 hour of my time can save up to 3 lives. Like the life of my little cousin, Jace, who suffers from sickle cell. But you wouldn't know that by how cheeky he is. If you're the giving type, please book an appointment at blood.co.uk.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colourful.com and apps. This is Colourful Radio.
Colourful. Colourful. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
My name is Sinai Flery and I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest this Windrush Day to talk all things Windrush and, of course, Carnival. I'm so delighted. Can you introduce yourself, my special guest who is looking as beautiful as ever?
Thank you. My name is Alison Williams and I am a Windrush veteran. I came in from Trinidad and Tobago in 1969 to start nursing and I've been here ever since. I married a fellow Trinidadian who I found out was one of the founder members of Notting Hill Carnival in 1960. Well, the date is still being disputed. We celebrated between 64 and 66 because it's somewhere between those years it was established. And then he and I started our own costume band in 1980, and we're still going, called Genesis. And we're still going to this day. I had a varied and challenging and interesting and tumultuous career in the NHS for nearly 40 years. And I've been retired for some time now. I loved it. I stayed and despite everything that happened, and I settled in midwifery because I thought, you know, the women were not ill and it was such a pleasure and a privilege to bring new life into the world. So I specialized in that field. And in 2002, I was awarded an MBE. And the citation said, for my outstanding contribution to the development of midwifery services for women in London. And I have continued being passionate about Carnival, being passionate about the NHS. You know, I've done consultancy work and extras all along the way. I am currently on the board for Notting Hill Carnival Limited. So, you know, call me or tell me, you know, if you have good times, bad times, or anything in between.
We need it to be longer. We need like a 7-day carnival like they have in the Caribbean.
Oh, my Lord. That would be absolute heaven. But, you know, the problem with that is that Carnival is not indigenous to London or England. It's not anything naturally flowing for them. It's not subsidized by the government. They don't have the amazing, because in the Caribbean, it's part of your legacy, your heritage. It's not here. So, and then, of course, it's not remained 100% Caribbean. We have had to become very inclusive. And so there are all different types of genres and communities taking part these days. So that is the difficulty.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, we're going to get into all of that. I just want to go back to something you mentioned about midwifery. How many babies have you helped bring into this world?
Well, my personally that I delivered are probably a couple of hundred, but of course I was in charge of a whole hospital that delivered, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 a year. Wow. And so I was responsible for all of them, even though I didn't. When you're a manager, you don't get to have much hands-on contact with the women, but you're still there for them. You talk to them all the time, and, you know, you visit. I used to be in charge of managing complaints. So I saw the families a lot because they complained all the time. You know, every woman thinks she's the only one in labor or having a problem. And rightly so, I think, because, you know, you can't be concerned about anybody else but yourself, you know. So, yes. And so I saw them and I got very involved in families and other children and partners and so on. So I was responsible for thousands.
Wow.
But, you know, so you could say I delivered them. You could just say I was responsible.
I love that. Did you have babies named after you? Did you have any baby Allisons?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
As far back as when I was training, because, of course, everybody thinks my name is so weird and so unusual because it's spelt with two L's and a Y. There's no L-I. So even Sunday, someone was looking for me on Instagram and they said, but I can't find you. You're not here. I'm putting in A-L-I-S-O-N. I said, well, that's why.
But wait, hold on. Miss Williams, you're on Instagram too?
Oh, yes. I was told it's a bit out of date. So next week, my granddaughter is coming to help me update it because I have just written my autobiography.
Right.
And of course, the publisher has insisted that I open an Instagram account because she said, I mean, I've had one a long time that my daughter Simone set up, but I never paid it any attention. So this is why this lady on Sunday was telling me it's a very old account. I need to get it updated.
Right. But listen, and,
That is what my publisher said. Once you have written a book, you become public property.
That's right.
And that took me by surprise because I am not a very public person. I'm like the swan paddling furiously underwater and looking totally cool and calm above it. Oh, my God.
I found you. Allison Y, Allison Williams, MBE. And I'm going to click follow right here so you can see.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm following you. I'm going to keep up with you. I think it's great how you're using, technology. Like you said, you are of that Windrush generation, but you are still very much... this is why I love speaking to you, because you're very much a young spirit, even though you are the Windrush generation, if you don't mind me saying. But
no, not at all. I'm very proud, very proud, very happy. Yeah. And I will be 77 years old. And people in 2 weeks' time, the 13th of July, or 4 weeks or whatever it is, and people say, you don't sound your age, you don't look your age, you don't behave your age. And I said, well, I don't know how to behave for any of that. I just behave as me, like me. You know?
Yeah. That's the fabulous Alison Williams, who is just always, you're always glowing, you're always vibrant. And I really love that about you. And good luck with promoting your autobiography as well, which I think is so important that you've documented your story.
Yes.
You told your story in your words, how you want to. That's super important, because you've done so. And I do,
yes. And I do have to get a copy to you so that you can read it and then interview me on it. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I'm going to add it to
my list. Colorful radio. Yes.
Yes, of course, my darling. Let's talk carnival now. So let's go back to something that you said. You know, you're proudly from Trinidad and Tobago, and you said your other half was also from Trinidad and Tobago, and he was one of the founding members of Carnival. So just tell us a little bit about him and how and why Carnival started, because I think it's important that we keep telling these stories so that the public is aware.
Absolutely. And, it was staggering to me that people, you take it for granted that people are aware of all of this, until I did. And just a little story, this is just a little aside. They, in 2019, when I joined the board, they asked me to open the carnival. And, you know, the Sunday morning ceremony at 10 a.m. And I said, oh my God, what am I going to say? And the CEO said, tell them why we're here, why we have carnival. So in 10 minutes, I mean, I practiced and practiced. In 10 minutes, I gave them the whole history of carnival from the emancipation of slavery up to that point in time. And that was it. And I think it was Rudolph Walker cut the ribbon and all the formalities were done. And I left to go and join our band, our children's band. And about 4 hours later, we were on our way home down Ladbroke Grove, and this bunch of women came running in the band, and everybody's saying, where are they going? What are they doing? Who do they want? And they kept, and suddenly I recognized one, and she was pointing at me and said, yes, it's you, it's you, it's you. And she said to me, she said, I heard you this morning open the carnival, and I had the biggest shock of my life. And these are about 5 or 6 white women. And she said, I had no idea carnival meant anything to you. I had no idea it had such a rich history. And I have lived in this area for 30 years, and I never knew that. She said, I thought it was just that you all had permission to have this big, wild, noisy street party once a year. She said, I would look at it so differently. And I thank you so much for educating me and telling me about its history. And I was so shocked, and I realized that that is the problem. I realized, you know, these middle-aged women, and she's lived in the area for 30 years and never bothered to try and find out why we were there. You know, so I think that is, as you said, you know, educating, you must talk, you know, it's a whole, and I get cheeky and I said, I compare it to, you know, the religious calendar, because it's based around religion. We celebrate Lent every year. We celebrate Easter every year. We celebrate Christmas. And so we have to find a way, wherever Black African American or Caribbean Americans are, we have to find a way to celebrate our history. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And that's why I think it's so important. And as you know, the Windrush generation brought a lot of Black people from the Caribbean, from all over the world, really. But the Windrush was specific about the Caribbean. And many of them were coming from islands where they were invited, like I was. I went and got selected and interviewed at the Ministry of Health, because there were British nurses begging them to look for Trinidadian young people to train as nurses to help develop the NHS. And before that, the friends I met when I came, before that, those friends were recruited to come on the buses and, you know, London Transport, what we call, you know, TfL and so on now. So there was a recruitment campaign right across the board for British. And the fact is that we were British at the time. Most of us were British, all because we were, you know, the descendants of slaves that were brought into the Caribbean from Africa by the British, the French, the Spanish, and the English. Well, I said British, sorry. You know, so we were all slaves there. And during the time of slavery, before emancipation, all these French people, it was interesting, I thought, that all the Africans brought their customs and traditions and cultures with them. And so did the French and the English and the Spanish. And they had, they used to have masquerade balls, and they had ceremonies, and they had parties and barbecues and all sorts of things, you know, that we know. But they had it as a tradition every year, because carnival means farewell to the flesh. And so they used to gorge themselves on the finer things of life, and celebrate from Christmas, after Christmas, until Lent, as we do now in Trinidad, Brazil, and some other places. And when they would then abstain, and, you know, Lent is a period of abstinence, and they would abstain. And in that period, they had their huge, massive masquerade balls, where they dressed up and they performed. They had music and dance and a lot of alcohol and food. And the slaves were not allowed to take part. So they had their own carnival at the time, and they used to mock them. And characters like the Jab Jab and the Dame Lorraine were characters they created from mocking the slave masters. And they had their own little celebrations in private, unbeknown to them. So, of course, when the emancipation of slavery happened, the African slaves and the locals carried on their traditions of celebrating their freedom, because it represented their freedom, being able to have carnival out in the open and, you know, developed. And that is how it started. And that was in the 1800s. And so carnival has been a tradition in Trinidad. And one of the ceremonies that the Africans perform was the we call it Cambule now. It, you know, the words evolve, but it's two words, Cambule, which means burning cane, and it celebrated the end of the sugarcane harvest, and that is celebrated in Trinidad still, as a form of freedom and emancipation. And so the carnival was allowed to develop. Of course, there was a lot of opposition because, of course, you know, you had these black people thinking, you know, they own the streets, and they wanted to celebrate and have all this, you know. And of course, they had no instruments like their white masters, so they developed the steel band, which is from shaped out of oil drums, and the stick fighting, that sort of thing happened quite a lot, and they made music and built their own, you know, tambu bambu drums and so on to make their own music in the streets. And so all of that developed from the African traditions. And that has gone on, you know, throughout the years. So, of course, in Trinidad, it's a beautiful experience to go to Trinidad for carnival, because you have all the different genres. You have the steel band that has developed into a form of art in itself, and the steel pan is the only, has been registered and established as a proper bona fide musical instrument, and it's the only one that has been created and refined and produced and made in the 20th century. So we're in the Guinness Book of Records, we're everywhere. So that is quite something. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the costumes have continued to evolve, and they follow theme, they follow fun and fantasy, etc. And you know, things like the sailor costumes, the traditional mass, as we call it, the Dame Lorraine, sailors, the Jab-Jab, etc., all still get reproduced every carnival as a symbol of this emancipation and freedom. And so, of course, a lot of all the Windrush people who came from the Caribbean, you know, of course, they came with their traditions too. So our Trinidadian traditions was carnival, the biggest thing that happened in the island that was subsidized by the government, approved by the government, and very well run and very well managed. It was, you know, they always say, you know, competition is healthy, and there's huge competition among the steel bands, the Calypsonians, the costume bands, and they get millions of dollars in prizes and so on. So it was wonderful, a high standard that they achieved every year. And of course, when we all came to London, it was a very different story. There was a lot of overt racism that that we experienced. And in 1958, and of course, what one of the big things about the West Indians was that they went around in groups and droves, you know, to stick together to talk about back home and to have their own traditions. And one of the places they hovered a lot or collected a lot in was Notting Hill Gate, Ladbroke Grove, because it was a very derelict, rundown area where they were able to buy some of these properties themselves and have, you know, several families at a time living in, you know, living together, because of course it was so difficult to find decent accommodation. And you would go and find, and my husband experienced it, and you know, with his surname Williams, and of course we spoke perfect English because we were British, and you know, they would accept him to come and get a flat or a room or whatever. And when he got there, they would be so shocked, because and they would actually say, you know, we didn't know you were black, your name is Williams, we didn't know you were black.
Wow.
And then they would pull out the sign saying, or stick a sign in the window saying, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And he experienced that several times as you know, life went on. And so they congregated in large amounts in Brixton and Notting Hill Gate, Ladbroke Grove, which were the two most derelict areas. You wouldn't believe it now, the most derelict areas at the time in the 40s and 50s, soon after the Windrush era started. And from that, this woman called Claudia Jones, there was a lot of tension, a lot of rioting, a lot of crime, a lot of, you know, not very nice things happening, assaults and so on happening to the black community in those areas. And this woman, Claudia Jones, who was a Trinidadian, was born and bred into the carnival culture as well. She came to live in London, and she thought having a carnival would be a wonderful way to unite the community and to introduce them to the talents and the artistry of what is carnival in Trinidad. But of course, she couldn't do it like in Trinidad, which is what she wanted. So she started doing indoor cabaret shows with quite well-known black members of the community in huge places like St. Pancras Hall and Porchester Hall, where she would have people performing and dancing, playing the steel band in carnival costumes. She would have a carnival queen competition on the night. And this was this was her way, because of course she'd just arrived and she had no idea what else she couldn't think of what else to do. And so that is considered the start of the concept of carnival, not the start of Notting Hill, because she never got to Notting Hill. She continued doing these cabaret shows for a few more years, from 58 to 64. When she died suddenly from heart disease. And that was when the other lady who has been considered the mother of Notting Hill Carnival on the streets, Ronnie Laslett, She then started the similar trend. She also had heard about Trinidad from her. She's a social worker. She heard about Trinidad Carnival from her clients. And of course, they knew, they talked about it not being possible to have it in at the same time as Trinidad, because of course it's freezing cold and often snowing in February or March, which is the time before Lent, that it always happens in Trinidad and Brazil. And so she decided that she would start. She started several things at the same time. She started a Notting Hill Fair, and which was a project for children. And she started a school where she tried to improve the literacy. And she started a lot of different groups where she would get the Irish, because there's not just black people that were suffering racism. There were Irish and Indians and, you know, Europeans as well going through the same thing. And of course, a lot of it was, you know, from men and young boys who kept saying, these black people, these foreigners coming and stealing our jobs and our women. And our women. So that was the theme that went through all of the fighting and so on. And then in 1959, this young carpenter was ambushed in Ladbrokes and murdered Kelso Cochran. And to this day, I mean, last month we celebrated 75 years since he died. And so a lot of the money that Claudia Jones raised from her cabaret shows went to pay for the fines of young boys, black and white, that were put into jail because they were arrested for fighting and so on. So she used the money wisely to help the community. And then Ronnie Laslett started a play group for the children and decided that the carnival would happen in the summer holidays when the kids were off school. And that is how August Bank Holiday came into being as the day of the carnival. Now, she also had black friends who played music, and my husband was one of them. They used to play, have a jam session every, and even when we met, we still used to go. He used to take me to listen to them play jazz or anything that they wanted to play at the Colourne Pub in Earl's Court. And Russell Henderson and his group were invited to come to Ladbroke Grove, play music in the streets, so that the children and other people in costume, because Ronnie hired costumes from different charity shops, etc., for other people. And so they all could get dressed in the streets and dance to music. And that's how the musicians became part of the beginning of the Notting Hill Carnival. And that first, well, Ronnie Laslett said it was in 65 that first street carnival happened. So there's another date. Some people say 64. My husband and Ronnie said 65, and other people said 66. So, you know, we always used to celebrate across the 3 years, like a triannual celebration of Notting Hill Carnival. And this year is the start of that. Although the CEO at the moment says it has been absolutely confirmed that 2026 is going to be the 60th anniversary celebrations of Notting Hill. So that is how it all started. So and it continued. There were times between I think it was like 1970 and 75 when there was a big lull and nobody knew what was happening, and a few people came out on the road. And that was around the time that the RBKC got hold of Leslie Palmer, who was one of the locals and popular teachers in the area, and asked him to help develop the carnival, not to let it die. And that was when the song systems were officially introduced to Notting Hill Carnival as part of the music genre.
What year were the sound systems introduced?
70, oh God, I think it's between 70 and 73, something like that.
Okay, so the early 1970s.
Yes, yes.
Okay, actually, yeah, I've got this interview that we did a few years ago, and you said, from your knowledge, it was 1973 that Guild Carnival introduced Jamaican sound systems as they became hugely popular with carnival goers due to the explosion of reggae music at the time. Just touch on the introduction of sound systems and why that happened at Carnival at that time.
Well, I don't know much more about it, except that it was considered a way of attracting, you know, people into the community and getting exposure for reggae music, and it was one strong aspect of not letting the carnival die, because it was done only at that weekend. And it was just, as I said, you know, exposure for the music that they popularized.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think, I mean, now we're in 2024, you know, it's summer, Carnival will take place in a couple of months. How do you think Carnival has evolved and changed over the years? Talk a little bit about, you mentioned this at the start, about being more inclusive with different genres and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that was a route that Carnival had to take, or could it have stayed, you know, how it was in, say, the 70s?
I think it was a route that we had to take, because as I noted, you know, a lot of the Windrush generation that started Carnival and got involved in Carnival were, you know, mature men and women, and you know, they had to find a way to carry on with the art, teach the art, pass on the skills. So of course it had to change and be inclusive of more young people, so that you have that legacy moving on as well in London. And I think, you know, it's, you know, the Caribbean is a small part of the migration of people to London. And so you had to start listening to other people who wanted to get involved. And so we started, there were the first people that I remember starting as a different genre, in a way, were the samba bands, you know, bringing their culture from Brazil. You know, developing at the moment, we have about 8 samba bands that take part in, it's not that big, but it's growing, that take part in the carnival. We have the calypsos, we have the steel pan, you know, they've all been developing, you know, quite well, as some of the original genres of carnival.
I love that. And I think it's important that you sort of like just explain that, because I think there's been so many debates over the years. Some people say, you know, this type of music shouldn't be played at Carnival, that type of music shouldn't be played at Carnival. But what you're saying is essentially the Carnival has roots from the Windrush generation, the Caribbean community that came here, more specifically, like you said, the Trinidadians. But it's had to adapt and evolve over the years, because it's a London-based thing, and you know you want it to be inclusive of other genres and other communities as well in the migration story.
Yes, exactly. You know, because as the migration dictates, you have other groups of people who want to celebrate as well. You know, not necessarily about the emancipation of slavery, but about other things.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit. I mean, the time, I don't even know where the time's gone.
Goodness, the 40 minutes was really gone.
But I've just been quiet and I've been listening and learning. Tell me a little bit about your band, Genesis Mass Band.
Well, Genesis started after I met my husband in 1980. And my husband was a very prolific band leader. He used to bring costumes, a costume band in Trinidad, and so he knew a lot of the very good band leaders of the time, George Bailey and Harold Saldanha and Irving McWilliams. Those were the big boys at the time, and he used to be with them. And at first, they all used to play with him. He was the one that broke away first, among the first. And so when I met him, he was, because he was a musician, so he was in and out of London a lot of the time. He played all around the world with his band. And so when he was, he always tried to come back for Carnival when it's, once it started. And we used to help his cousin. And through meeting a lot of different people who knew him and they used to talk about him, we all started to encourage him to do, to bring his own band, because he was thinking of giving up the music and settling back in London. And so that's how we started our own band called Genesis in 1980. And he was very, he was a very strong advocate for historical themes. So he loved recreating history. And so we did have quite a lot of amazing costumes that he created to depict different times in history, like the Khans, the Genghis Khan, and ancient Japanese, and a lot of African themes, and Red Indians, the Mayas, the Incas, the Aztecs. We had all those types of costumes, the Egyptians. And so we were well known for our amazing historical themes. And he had, he was a stickler for detail. So his costumes had to be perfect. When he passed away, we continued as far as we could with the historical theme. But of course, by that time, the youngsters who were more and more involved and learning the art didn't feel they wanted to be so dressed up and so covered up. And so they started to demand, as I call it, the bikinis and beads and feathers. And that is what has evolved over the last 20 years or so. Very little, you know, lots of young women wearing very little and covered in beads and feathers.
How do you feel about that, Miss Williams?
Well, I don't mind it as long as it's tasteful. This is the problem with it, is that, you know, a lot of the young girls are very, there's a very thin line between what is tasteful and tasteless. And so, you know, they cross it a lot of the time, and it's quite, and I don't like the vulgarity that it introduces into mass, you know. I don't think there's any need for it. I think you could be 120% sexy covered up as you are naked, you know, because then you leave nothing to the imagination.
And on that note, I mean, my clock is saying 3 minutes to go. Miss Williams, you said you're going to be 77 in a few months' time. So I'm going to wish you a happy birthday. Well,
next month, yeah, the 13th of July.
Next month, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to wish you a happy birthday and for your 77th birthday. And then in August, are we going to see you Pandy Road?
Well, this year I have taken a step back. My daughter and son are doing a collaboration with another friend. And so they are working on presenting costumes on Sunday and Monday. I am actually organizing the judging process.
Okay.
And so it fits in a way, because I have a dodgy knee. And I think it wouldn't last a carnival on the road. So I offered to help improve and develop and modernize the judging process for the costume bands.
Okay, listen, we look forward to it. Listen, Miss Williams, it's been an honor to speak to you. The time's gone so quickly.
I know.
Like they say, time flies when you're having fun. And it was certainly fun to catch up with you. Thank you for adding your voice to these series of programs on Colourful Radio, all about the Windrush generation, but this specific show of the Windrush generation and Carnival. I want to thank you and salute you for all your
pleasure
in NHS. Thank you for your 40 plus years of service in the NHS, and thank you for all you've done for Notting Hill Carnival as well.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Babajans talk about tea, Mama love tea, Papa love tea, Trinidad and Kramer, Rawati, Corrali Bush and the team are we, but the young girl crazy is a lick of fighting. Trinidadians talk about tea, Mama love tea, Papa love tea, Babajans talk about tea, Mama love tea, Papa love tea, Trinidad and Kramer, Rawati, Corrali Bush and the team are we, but the young girl crazy is a lick of fighting. Mama look tea, Papa look tea, Babajans talk about tea, brother look tea, sister look tea, Trinidad and Crave, Mazawadi, Corrali, Bush and the team are we, but the young girl crave is a lick of fighting. I said Trinidad and talk about tea, Mama look tea, Papa look tea, Babajans talk about tea, Mama look tea, Papa look tea, Trinidad and Crave, Mazawadi, Corrali, Bush and the team are we, but the ground girl crazy as a lick down fighting.
But not a woman, I'd rather to see them starve. They don't like to pay in no kind of way. And if you take them in from the magistrate, he dismiss the case for a debt. So no woman taking me money without security, unless you bring a little dog or a pat little cat or some kind of property. I am the merchant of Venice. Lending money on interest is my business. So if you want my money, it's a bung of your flesh for security. Like money under false pretense, like they have the opinion that man money have sense. But anytime they take my money, they got to sign a treaty with me, because I am one merchant, they're making fun. Justice must be done. So no woman taking me money without security, unless you bring a little dog or a fat little cat or some kind of property. I am the merchant of Venice. Lending money on interest is my business. So if you want my money, it's a bung of your flesh for security. get me security in me hand. If you can't bring a dog for me, leave your cat in my possession. The tired borrow money from son and leave me on the promised land. So this year they got a chance. I want me flesh in advance. Tell them they're taking me money without security. Unless you bring a little dog or a fat little cat or some kind of property. But I am the merchant of Venice. Lending money on interest is my business. So if you want my money, it's a pong of your flesh for security.
Carnival celebrates Windrush Day.
Windrush Day.
We had Shabbat on the road, jump up, start to jump up. We had Shabbat on the road, jump up, start to jump up. We had Shabbat on the road, jump up, start to jump up. We had Shabbat on the road, yeah. Welcome, let me start this jam. Start this jam. We getting on rocket bad. Rocket bad. Just show me a plastic hand.
Bye.
and Woodson the hot